Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of Jude. And I was in this a little bit last week. But I want to start verse 3. It says, "Beloved, when I gave you all diligence to write to you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." To contend is a word to fight. When something has value to you, you'll fight for it. If you have no fight, it has little value. If someone were to steal something or try to steal something that didn't mean that much, you're not going to put up that much of a fight. But if it really has a lot of value, you will fight. And then you work that on out. If someone were to come into your home and threaten your family, you may fight to the death, possibly. I remember it pops into my mind when I was in Colombia, South America, and something wasn't right with my plane ticket and had to go to the ticket office. Of course, this was before personal computers and all that online, and you had to physically go there. And the missionary's daughter got lost, and we're riding in a place we don't belong. And there's like six young men stop the vehicle. And guns and knives about to rob us. And there was my plane ticket was in my pocket. And this guy reached in. The window was down. That was a mistake. And grabs my ticket. But see, I was ready to go home. I finished ministry. The next day, I'm going home. He's not taking my plane ticket. So I grabbed him by the wrist and took it out. And I'm staring down a knife. Well, praise the Lord. God sent angels to bring deliverance. But if something has value, like at that moment in time, I was ready to go home. So that ticket, I'm not letting that ticket be stolen from me. And I don't know why it just popped into my mind, but there's many, many applications we can make. When something has value, you will fight for it. That's why as a parent, when your children, even at a very young age, if they're challenging you, if you're not willing to fight for it, then for them, what they're learning is it really isn't worth that much to you. And sometimes you have to fight. I'm not talking about you're slugging each other. I'm just fight in spirit. You have to fight because something has value. For example, showing respect, husband to wife. That's very, very important. Children need to see that. And on it goes. So we begin to impose things because there's value. And he's saying here, the faith that was given to you is very valuable. We are saved by that faith. All that we partake of from God is by faith. We live by faith. And what he goes on to bring out going through this letter is that there was such a great work of the Antichrist spirit going on where people were falling away and working to undermine everything of God. And that's what Antichrist does. He opposes and exalts himself against everything that's called God, everything of God. That's what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 clearly says there. So he's writing to them because they are in a place of experiencing this. Now, the last 2 weeks, I was sharing a little bit from the book of Revelation where Jesus spoke to the churches, and many of them were undergoing a lot of persecution. They went through some rough times. They were in places where it was viewed as a stronghold of Satan, the Pergamos church, where there was a great temple built to the Greek god Zeus. And all kinds of demonic worship, and with that usually goes sexual sin as well. And he's writing to some of these early church Christians where you need to hold fast to your faith or earnestly contend, the way it reads here, for the faith. Because if you compromise what you believe about God, what do you have left? Nothing much, really, just religion. You don't really have anything. And once you start down the path of compromise, you'll end up with a weak faith, if any at all, and more become inclined out of those compromises to enter back into the sins the Lord brought you out of. Well, he lists some things here. He says, certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God to lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, two things that are very common are mentioned here. In many places in the Bible, when there's a falling away from the Lord, is that the compromise that begins to be made, that there will be grace being turned into lasciviousness, or like, well, whatever the flesh wants, you can just do. It's okay. They think grace means, well, God winks at it. It's okay. There's forgiveness. You don't have to repent. You can sin. It doesn't matter. And that will only lead to more and more of the same. And then where it says denying the Lord Jesus Christ, it's speaking of denying the lordship or his authority in your life. Those are two things in demonic doctrine that Satan will always go for or try to bring. Because if we stop submitting to Jesus as Lord, which will be as we obey his commands, well, the life of God's cut off. And as we give place to all manner of sin, it will lead to our destruction. So he mentions that here, that that was being brought in. And that, again, is stated many other places. The letter of 2 Peter reads as a mirror to the epistle to Jude. And I was mentioning some last week about verse 11, the error of Balaam, as that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 2. Now, it goes on, speaking of that, and says how, verse 16, they are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, their mouth speaking great swelling words or flattery, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Or people use flattery to try to gain something from someone else. They'll puff them up. So he's mentioning some of the sin that was at work around them. Now, we see today that sin is increasing around us in the world, and it's not just our country, so don't be a U.S. basher. That always irritates me. Same all over the world. Okay? Sin. We just see a decrease or a decline in our own nation. That being said, as we acknowledge that, we want to remember that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. In other words, the Spirit of God will be moving in the midst of that sin to pull people out from it and to deliver and save them. And that's what we need to have our eyes on, is that which the Lord would want to do by his grace. Now, we're surrounded by this, and when we read in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, some of the ways of man in the end times, we can see so clearly, wow, this is what's happening. We're living in this right now. And Satan's effort behind that is to wear you down. And that was spoken in the prophet Daniel. And it's spoken in the book of Revelation. It would seek to wear down the saints. Because if you get wore down, then you'll be open to compromise, deception, temptation, and all of that. Sometimes people who were once mightily used of the Lord, they let themselves get wore down. And then they end up in sin. And people think, how did he end up there? They're anointed men and women of God. How did they end up over here? Well, if you allow yourself to get wore down, and we don't stay built up, then we become more vulnerable to those pressures and temptations. So we must stay strong. We see in the life of Elijah, where he stood up against King Ahab, various miracles. He slayed 850 prophets of Baal. He was completely empty. He was shot. So after that, then Jezebel threatens him. Well, who is she to threaten him when he just killed 850 prophets of Baal and had all these miracles happening, fire coming down from heaven? Why would that be upsetting to you to hear the wife of the king, who you just basically made a fool out of and defeated, is threatening you? He was wore down. A person is more vulnerable after they've fully exerted themselves and are wore down. So that's why we need to continue to build ourselves up. Physically, if you're exerting a lot of energy, and especially if you're under a lot of stress in your job, it wears your body down. And at that point, you encounter some kind of sickness and disease, when your immune system's wore down, that's when you're more vulnerable to receive that disease. So like with all this COVID stuff, the answer is real simple. It's the same it's always been. It's to keep your immune system built up, because God designed your body to fight that stuff. Your body will just wipe it all out in that war. But you have to stay strong. So there are things that will obliterate our immune system, like stress, especially stress, no sleep, poor diet, that will weaken our immune system so then we're vulnerable to whatever we encounter. Well, it's the same in the spirit. If you allow yourself to be weak in spirit and you're all stressed out, you're not carrying peace, then you're more vulnerable to Satan's temptation. So that was the case with Elijah. God calls him to separate himself. He gets in this depression. He says, I'm the only one left. And God says, no, I got 7,000 more. Just like you. They've not bowed the knee to the Baal worship, Baal worship. And he calls him aside and gives him a fresh word. And he's strengthened again to go on in his ministry and fulfill the last phase of his life. All that being said, I'm just preparing the way for verse 20 and 21. I was hitting on this last week. I want to hit on it today again, because this is very, very relevant to the days we're living in. Very relevant. Very, very, very relevant. You, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, we must build ourselves and stay strong. And in 2020, that was the thematic word for the year. And I believe the anointing of the Lord is to still preach and declare those things, because we are still in the midst of all this craziness going on. In fact, it's getting worse. You know, the crazy sin stuff that's going on around us. We must stay strong. And sometimes maybe you go to work for some of you and it's like a spiritual war. And you need to be built up before you go into that environment, lest you sin. In other words, somebody flip your switch, make you mad, you get yourself fired or whatever. You have to stay built up. Hopefully going home is not that for you. Well, you need to pray in the Holy Ghost for an hour before you go home. But for some people, it can be like that. For others, going to work. For others, just thinking about the affairs of life can begin to drain you and just wear you down. I like to stay aware of what's going on, you know, so we'll frequent news type of thing, but I can only take so much. There's times I'll say, let's turn it off now, Donna. That's enough. We've heard enough. We know what's going on. Just turn it off. Because all it's serving to do is provoke me now. But see, it can wear you down in your mind to where you're not holding fast to hope before you, because you can begin to think, if you hear enough of what all's happening in the world, you can begin to lose hope. Wear you down, lead you into depression. So we need to stay strong and stay built up. Now, some time back, I preached from Ephesians chapter 3, and it speaks there of praying that we are strengthened in the Holy Ghost, that we can continue to carry the presence of God, or He dwell in us by faith, that we might know the love of God that passes knowledge, to know the height and length and breadth and depth of the love of Christ, that we can be filled with the fullness of God. And this is what it goes on to here. Keep yourself in the love of God. In the midst of the negativity all around us, there's two things He's telling us to do. And then there's two things it's going to say what God's going to do. Two things we need to do. Stay strong. Build yourself up. That is something you physically need to do. It's an effort you have to make. It doesn't like just happen because you're somebody special. You have to continue to build yourself up, just like you need to continue to go to the grocery store, bring the food home. Sorry for using a food illustration before lunch, but bring the food home. It's in the fridge. You have to cook it. If it's something that's going to be served hot, you're going to have to prepare it so you can get the nutrition out of it. just knowing, yeah, there's food in the grocery store. Yeah, there's food in the fridge. Yeah, there's food in the cabinets. You're going to have to actually, somebody's going to have to make it and take the time and the effort to make it. We have to build ourselves. It must become a part of your daily life. Now, I'm sharing something with you that pertains to this is something that we need to build in our daily life, not just know about. Too many Christians know about the things of God. Say, yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I hope you're not sitting here doing that. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. That only leads to a self-deception. When we're hearing the word, we need to hear in a way where we're saying, Lord, what are you saying to me? What would you have me to do, Lord? Or to allow him to strengthen, going right into our spirit man with a strengthening in the hearing of the word, but also giving us wisdom to know what to do, how to live. So again, it's not enough just to know about the things of God. We need to be doers of the word, and that's the person that's blessed. So we must continue to build ourselves, and that's why we put together, made available to you the worship songs we do through Spotify. Hopefully, most of you, many of you, hopefully all of you, already tapped that. If you didn't, why didn't you? Aren't you hearing what I'm saying? I don't mean to be, arrogant or facetious, but I'm confronting you now. If you've not done that, didn't you hear what I've been saying? I hope you're not sitting here not really hearing what the Spirit of God's saying to us. Are we aware of the times we're living in? We must stay strong. We must be built up in the Word. So we have the tools and devices we can tap into, like say through the Spotify's, all the songs we sing in worship that are full of the Word, anointed, and just feed on that. Listen to it. And with the devices, Donna got her phone hooked to the car thing, so we're riding to prayer meeting hearing praise and worship. And she even has some things tapped in there. What do you call it, Donna? Your oldies. And there's songs that we listened to like 40 years ago. One was, I think, written in the late 60s. That's 50-some years ago. And they're still anointed, and it just sets you in the place. For me, it stirs up the revelation I was walking in then. Makes me remember it, because this is what I was feeding on back then. And the thing with music, using that with the carry the word, to be the vessel to carry the word to your spirit, is that it can bring a connection deeper within you to receive the power of the word that's being sung. So on top of it, you can sing with it. Now, back in the old days, you didn't have any of that. I remember once talking with Brother Ema in Nigeria, and he was getting a little frustrated because he'd spend money on sound systems, and times Randy would go with me, and we would take equipment with us and go back a year later, and it's like destroyed. There's so much dirt and dust in the air. I used to blow black stuff out of my nose for literally a week. Every day after I'd come back from there, so much pollution in the air. And he would get frustrated because the technology stuff wouldn't work very long. And he said, I think I just want to go back to getting everybody just to walk down the road just to sing songs, maybe blow a trumpet. And he would do like an air trumpet. He was doing songs that way. That's how he used to walk down the road, singing to himself. Ephesians says to sing, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And you see, we get used to it all being done for us. That's not a good thing either. Kids need to learn to make music, to sing, because they can minister to themselves rather than just hear. Now, praise God, we have the devices. We can hear professionals, highly anointed people, bing, bang, boom. Yeah, so I listen to that stuff all day long. I'm praying. And these songs just trigger things in my spirit. Take advantage of the tools and devices. If you're not, why? I'm challenging you. Why? If you're not, why aren't you doing that? Don't you think you need the strength of God? We all need the strength of God. And all the more as we're moving forward in the last days. We need more. So therefore, we need to take the steps necessary to do that. Now, some people, you know, they can, they'll just do that by themselves. And I'll do that, just sing, worship the Lord by myself. But there's times you're driving in the car, and you do need to keep your eyes on the road. You know, so you can play those things and worship and praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, praying in the known tongue and the unknown tongue, strengthening yourself, speaking the word to yourself. We need to do that. But then on top of that, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. When all this sin's happening around you, it can really, there's a temptation to get out of the love walk. We have to keep ourselves in love because the fullness of God proceeds out from that. Keeping ourselves in the love of God, that is something you have to actively and proactively do. Don't just assume you're walking in love because there's no pressure. Because what's going to happen is you have the road rage person or whatever in front of you and make you mad. Now you're in sin. Now you're upset. Or the person at work or whatever it would be that provokes you. And just hearing what's going on in the world provokes me, to be honest with you. It just provokes me. I hear all this crazy, sinful stuff going on. I think, man, I can't believe this. And the word out of my mouth all the time is just devils, Don. It's just devils. People are submitted to devils. They have demons. How else would you do all this crazy, sinful stuff other than the fact you're under the influence? But we have to keep ourselves in love, which is not speaking to emotion, an emotion of love, a feeling, but rather it's speaking to a walk. We walk in this life, giving of ourselves, looking at how we can be a blessing. We want to walk the love walk, and that's where we will maintain the joy of the Lord. Now, before I get further in that, I want to just point out verse 24. Now, to him that's able to keep you from falling, God will keep you from falling away. He will keep you from being overcome by sin as we stay strong and continue to stay in love. He'll protect us or keep us. As it goes back to the Balaam example, Balaam, for money, tried to curse the people of God, and he couldn't do it. If we'll stay in the spirit, it doesn't matter what Satan tries to do, he cannot overcome you. He cannot destroy you or conquer you. You have to, through compromise and sin, bring the curse on yourself. So God can keep us from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's working for us to be the bride of Christ, to be presented to the Lord with great joy. And the thing that should be outstanding in our testimony as we walk through this world is the joy of the Lord is there. And it will really stick out because the world doesn't have it. And the worse things get, and they're complaining and murmuring and all that, and here you are smiling and laughing with joy, it's a tremendous testimony where they're going to say, what's up with you? To me, that's a great compliment if somebody says something like that to you. What's your problem? You on drugs or what? That's all they know. You must be high or something that you have joy. And it's a great testimony. And the more there's all these things happening around us, the stronger that testimony becomes. And it's a work of the Spirit of God. Well, he goes on speaking here, verse 22 and 23, of looking to reach out to people in the compassion and fear of the Lord that they might be saved. And part of the love walk is, it's real simple, is that where our minds renewed, we're thinking of how do I bless someone else? How am I a blessing? And it doesn't have to be like a certain way. It could just be a word of encouragement. You listen to somebody, maybe you encourage them. Maybe you pray for them. You share something with them, whatever it might be. Or maybe you're literally giving something. You're serving. You're giving. It can be in a lot of ways, but we are thinking in this way, keeping ourselves in love. Now, that being said, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 26. And these few verses says, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that's good, that he might have to give to him that needs. The criteria of love is giving. If you don't have anything, you can't give anything. We can give the word or encouragement. We can also give something like food or money. But he's exhorting here to work, to have, to give, to live the life of the giver. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. If you're walking in love, you think about, how am I influencing someone else? And when you're in selfishness, you only think about yourself. When you're in love, you're thinking of, how can I bless someone? And that begins with speaking words that would bless them, or edifying words, words that would build them up, to minister grace to the hearer. What do people hear when they encounter you? Is it complaining? Is it murmuring? Is it joy? What is it? So in walking that love walk, we consider, how can I be a blessing? How can I encourage? He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit's grieved when we are speaking words that are not faith and love. That grieves him, because he can't work in that. He wants to work. But we have to give him something to work with. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Again, the world we're having to walk through right now, you very easily can get bitter, angry, wrath, be a complainer, speak evil of people. It's very easy to get pulled into that. If, say, you go into the workplace and say there's four people there, and they're complaining, and they're talking bad about the boss, and they're talking, you know, bad about the economy and this, that, and the other, it's easy to enter into it. You'll be accepted. But if you don't enter into it, you know, they'll notice right away. You don't even have to say anything. They'll notice you're not entering in. And that brings a conviction to them to begin with. But you can't enter into it, because you're going to be pulled down to that level. It says, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, or living that life of a giver, blessing them, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So to keep ourselves in love, we need to consider, how can I be a blessing? What is coming out of my mouth? And how can I be kind and give to someone, to people around me? And we want to have that become our habit or our way. Where this is how I walk. This is how I live. And it'll keep you from the stuff that's out there getting on you and taking you down, or wearing you out, burning you out. And with this, we continue to constantly forgive other people, because we've been forgiven. When people refuse to forgive, they have lost sight of the fact that they've been forgiven by Jesus Christ. We all have had sin we could not set ourselves free from. We deserve a destiny of hell. We've forgotten that if we won't forgive others. So he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake forgave you. Well, how did he forgive you? Did he make you make payments? Did he punish you for a while and then say, I'll forgive you? No, he releases it. Once the moment you ask forgiveness and you repent, it's released. It's forgotten. It's blotted out. Be therefore, because of that, followers of God as dear children, or imitate the Lord. Walk in love as Christ loved us and hath given for himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Walk in love as he loved us. Now, to keep ourselves in love is to walk in love. To walk in love, we need to continue to see him and his love to us. Because all that you're going to do for real is going to come out of that. The love you see for you coming from him. And you'll just do that. You'll follow after it. But if we fail to meditate upon the word and look at the Lord and consider how he has loved us, if we ever let up on that, our love for him will decrease to the degree we're not looking at his love for us. We will have less of that working in us. It's all commensurate. You see his love, you begin to walk in the same thing. So in the word with Jude there, I'll just go back there to close. We need to stay built up with all that's going on, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping ourselves in love. And verse 25 says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and ever, amen. So he finishes this up by really the exhortation of us that our mind and our hearts towards God to bring glory and honor and praise to our God who has saved us, who will keep us in him, who will perfect or continue to change us, transform us, to present us before him, before his glory with great joy, with great joy. You know, you have I'll close with this thought. You have a father who's going to present his daughter to the young man in marriage. Could be an old man, but present your daughter in marriage. And you know, the idealistic of it, that she's pure and has a love for you. And you're, there's great joy in that moment to present her. I give her to you. And the Lord's going to present the bride of Christ in heaven, the bride of Christ, which we're all part of. He's working to prepare us, to mature us, that we would be ready, that the new Jerusalem would be ready to be given over to the Lord.